It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from the golden age of radio. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. In this hour, sitcoms. Later on, we hear Lucille Ball star in the program My Favorite Husband. But right now, it's Monty Woolley starring as the Magnificent Montague. In the second-to-last broadcast of the series from NBC, this episode called The Puppy, from August 25th, 1951.
And now, the Magnificent Montague. Edwin Montague is a stubborn man. As the Magnificent Montague of the Shakespearean Theater, he held out for years against going on the radio. Now that hunger has driven him to becoming Uncle Goodhart, hero of an afternoon radio program, he refuses to get off the air even for a weekend vacation. His poor wife, Lily, is doomed for another weekend in the city. But Agnes, their maid, is happily packing for an outing.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy, you make me sad. What is it, honey?
Oh, you're packing. Are you going away again for the weekend?
What do you think? I'm off for the wide open spaces, and I don't mean your husband's mouth.
Well, what is it this time?
Another outing of my club, the Unattached Girls of East 37th Street.
Oh, you girls have so much fun. I just can't get Edwin out of New York.
What a break for the rest of the country.
Stop. It's just that he hates the country.
He's just afraid of the birds. If they spot that beautiful nest that hangs down from his chin, they'll think it's a federal housing project for swallows.
Oh, that's silly. Tell me about the trip. I didn't know you were going by car.
A car, she says. We all chipped in. We sent Zelda Zimmerman down to a used car lot. Boy, did she come back with a heap. A real meatball on wheels.
Well, what kind is it?
A 1923 Essex. The one they used to call a Greyhound.
I remember. Does it run?
Run? If you put a rabbit in front of it, it'll chase it.
Well, then why was Zelda talked into buying it?
A salesman gave her a pitch. He said it was just like a modern car. No gear shift.
No gear shift?
It fell off 20 years ago.
Agnes, I'm worried about you going on a trip in a car like that.
Honey, it's a perfect car for a cheap trip. It don't use gas.
No gas?
No, you just feed the squirrel under the hood.
Agnes, in a car like that, it sounds too dangerous.
Oh, don't worry, honey. Hazel Schmidlach's boyfriend's a mechanic. He got under the car and said all he had to do was turn a few screws, and that's all he did.
Good.
Yeah, he's been under the car for 5 days now.
5 days?
The motor fell on him.
Well, I hope it doesn't rain and spoil your outing.
Just being out of this house and away from that monster husband of yours makes it a glorious holiday.
When Edwin and I were younger, he used to love going on boat rides up the Hudson.
I know. Then Fulton invented the steamboat and scared Montague off the river.
Oh, Agnes.
No kidding. You need a rest, honey. I can take you somewhere.
Oh, what's the use? He's so stubborn.
Look, honey, use your brain. Tell him your health's shattered. Just tell him he's got to take you away before the boys in the white coats do it for him.
Do you think I could do it?
Why not? You are an actress. How do you think most wives get vacations? A groan, a moan in front of the husband, and it's hi-ho off to Bermuda.
Did you think a few moans and groans would work?
It does with most husbands. Of course, with Montague, you may have to chop off an arm or something.
Agnes, I hate deceiving Edwin, but I just know getting out of town would be good for him, too. Well, that must be Edwin back from his morning walk around the block.
I'll let him in. Here he is, nature boy.
Well, as I live and breathe, glamorous Agnes, the last of the bloomer girls. Where's Lily?
She's lying down on the couch.
Lily lying down?
I'm over here, Edwin.
Oh, what's the matter?
Oh, I don't know, Edwin. I've been feeling funny all week.
She fainted 3 times this morning.
Please, Agnes, I didn't want him to know.
Know what? Gad, you look wonderful.
This poor woman needs a rest.
Rest? Nonsense. She hasn't worked since 1937 when we did Romeo and Juliet. But even in that, She was lying in a nice soft coffin for the last whole act.
Edwin, it's just that I'm cooped up in this apartment all year.
Look at her. The poor thing needs some sunshine.
Well, so do I. And if you clean the windows once in a while, we get...
My head is splitting.
I'm telling you, she needs a change.
You're so right. We'll get a new maid.
Edwin, I don't like the demand, but perhaps a weekend in the country with fresh air, sunshine, green fields.
Sunshine and fresh air? That can kill you, you know.
Edwin, everybody goes away for the weekend.
You're up now. I thought you were so sick. My weak little wife.
Oh, Edwin. Oh, you're horrible.
Now, stop bawling. Tragedy was never one of your strong points.
Go to your radio broadcast. Go anywhere.
I could make it more specific.
Agnes, you started it all, this insane weekend nonsense.
Oh, will you go to your radio broadcast?
Yeah, hit the road.
I'm going. Home, sweet home. Be never so humble, there's no place like Bellevue. Goodbye.
Oh, now.
Oh, Agnes, it's not that I particularly want to go away on a weekend, but when I pretended I was sick, you didn't even seem to care.
Well, there's one consolation. You married Montague for better or worse, and he can't get worse.
Well, that's Edwin. As usual, when he's been nasty, he's coming back to apologize.
The fiend, I'll get the door. Oh, so you've come crawling back. Uh-oh, it's Mr. Zinser, the director of Montague's Uncle Goodheart program.
Oh, hello, Mr. Zinser.
Oh, hello there, Mrs. Montague. Is Mr. Montague home?
Well, no, he left for the radio station. You just missed him.
Oh, fiddle-dee-dee.
What's the matter, Mr. Zinser? What have you got in that basket?
I'd rather not discuss it, Mrs. Montague.
Whatever it is, it's moving.
Mrs. Zinser, what is it?
Please, Mrs. Montague, it's not the sort of thing men talk about in front of women.
Come. Look, we're all over 21.
Tell us, Mrs. Zinser.
Well, all right. You see, a few days ago... Oh, I shouldn't be so risque.
Go on. What is it?
Well, here goes. Our dog had puppies.
Oh, what he said.
Quiet, Agnes. So that's what is what's in the basket. A puppy. Oh, quick, let me see him.
It's a her. Here, I'll pull back the blanket.
Oh, Agnes, look. Oh, isn't she the cutest thing?
Congratulations, Mr. Zinser. She has your nose.
Thank you. Do you really think so?
Oh, look, look, she's trying to bite my finger.
Gosh, I'm sorry Mr. Montague isn't here to see her. I brought the puppy for him.
For Montague?
Oh, no, Mr. Zinser. Edwin complains if a dog even walks in front of the building.
Next to people and children, he hates dogs most.
Yeah, I thought Uncle Goodheart would like a dog in his home.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Zinser. It's very sweet of you, but you'd better get it out of here. If Edwin even suspected a dog was in the apartment...
Oh, dear. What am I going to do with little Edwina? I have to get to the radio station. I'll just leave her at the city dog pound.
There's nothing I can...
Oh, no! Edwina sure goes for you, honey.
Oh, look at her. Cute as a button. No.
Oh,
It tickles.
Come on, Edwina, to the pound.
Oh, Mrs. Zinta, you can't take her to the pound.
I have to do something. I can't take her back home. We got 8 more to get rid of. Let's go.
Oh, Mrs. Zinta, wait.
I'll miss the broadcast.
Mrs. Zinta, leave the dog here.
Honey, have you lost your marbles?
Agnes, I don't care what Edwin says. Little Edwina is not going to the pound. Yes. All my life I've wanted a dog. And little Edwina is just the one.
Oh, that's George. There's a vet around the corner, Dr. Spitz. I'll send him right up.
A vet?
All puppies need shots and things like that. Yeah, I'll be late for the broadcast. Goodbye.
Honey, a dog in the same house with Montague, it'll be murder.
I don't care. Edwin will have to get used to it.
Oh, brother. Between his beard and the dog, we'll have every flea in New York in him.
Oh, here, let me hold her. Oh, little Edwina.
Little Edwina is not going to any nasty old town.
Ah, look at the little sweetheart.
Oh, that must be the vet, Dr. Spitz.
I'm coming. I'm coming.
Edwin, open the door.
It's Edwin.
Edwin?
Edwin! Well, I can't explain to him now.
Let me in.
I'll hide the dog in the bedroom. Tell him anything, Agnes. Don't let him find out.
Lucky Agnes, always in the middle. Coming!
What's the idea of keeping you waiting? Where's Lily?
She's in the bedroom.
And she's really sick.
But don't go in there. Let her rest.
You're right. Agnes, I must have been out of my mind. I was halfway to the radio station before I realized how miserably I treated Lily. I want her to know.
You're sure? I'll tell her. Now go.
I don't hear anything in the bedroom. She must be resting.
Yeah, now go.
Agnes, I'm worried. She looks pale. Is she really sick?
It's nothing. Nothing at all.
Listen to her. Lily!
Don't go in there. You'll upset her.
But she's howled it off.
It'll pass. Just a little sinus condition.
Sinus? Dad, that's the worst case of sinus I ever heard. Call a doctor.
Now, don't worry. There's a Dr. Spitz coming over. Now, beat it. You'll be late for your broadcast.
How can I leave the town like this? But she's in a horrible pain. I should be at her side.
No, you've done enough.
Oh, Agnes. Agnes, she complained about feeling ill, and I ignored it. I treated her like a dog. Oh, what a monster I've been. Agnes, I'm going to nurse her back to health. I'll take her to the country for a month. 6 months.
Get out.
And call me if she gets worse.
Agnes, I couldn't keep Edwina quiet. I think something's wrong.
Now, don't you start. Well, it worked, honey. He's taking you out of the city. One more howl out of Edwina and you would have had a world cruise.
Don't talk nonsense. I can't leave the city now. I have a dog to take care of. Quick, like a baby. I wouldn't think of going anywhere.
I give up.
Oh, quick. That's the vet.
I'll let him in. Are you the vet?
Yeah, I'm Dr. Spitz. Mr. Zinza sent me. Where's the hunt? The dog.
Oh, right here, doctor. I think something's wrong with Edwina.
Yeah, we fixed the kleiner little pupchen of good like new. Let's go.
Go? Where?
To my dog hospital, around the corner.
The hospital? Oh, doctor, what's wrong with her?
Well, I think the dog, she has the pip.
The pip?
The pip?
Oh.
Quick, let's go.
Agnes and Lily are at Dr. Spitz's dog hospital seeing Edwina through her first crisis. It is a remorseful Edwin Montague who is just finishing his Uncle Goodheart program.
And so, Ronald, once again you come to Uncle Goodheart for advice. Now you want to change your name. Don't you like the name of Ronald Smith? It's a good American name, Ronald. There's nothing to be ashamed of. But no, for some strange reason, you want to change your name to John D. Rockefeller, Jr. Just because that is the name you've been signing checks with. But you have nothing to worry about. As Shakespeare said, what's in a name? You just keep signing those checks, and the authorities will change your name for you to a nice long number. So, dear listeners, like Ronald, as the prison gates close on him for 99 years, remember, keep your head high. It's the sun and life.
So ends another episode of Uncle Goodheart. Until tomorrow, when he meets you again in his little cottage on the sunny side of the lane, here is Uncle Goodheart with his thought for the day.
When your neighbor gets pushed off a fishing boat, wearing his heaviest clothes for the day, as he goes to the bottom like a lump of lead, yell down to him, "Anchors away!"
Mr. Montague, you're off the air.
Springer, did you receive a call from my home?
No, no one called.
Oh, thank heaven. Lily must be better.
Well, if she listened to your program just now, she must be proud of you.
Now, please.
It was inspirational, Mr. Montague. It was like drinking in a tonic.
Hair tonic. It was sickening.
Ah, don't be modest. Why, here's Mr. Zinza. Good show, eh, Zinza?
Oh, it was a four-star doother, all right, all right.
Please, I've got to get home and see my wife.
You going home, Mr. Montague?
Immediately. Zinza, what is it?
I know something you don't know.
Stop this. What is it?
You've got a glorious surprise waiting for you at home.
A surprise? How do you know?
I saw your wife after you left.
You did? Quick, Zinza, how was she?
Wonderful. I've never seen her so happy.
Zinza, that is a glorious surprise.
What was it, Mr. Montague? Something wrong with the ball and chain?
Yes, I've just got to get her away for a little vacation. She sounded awful this morning.
Wives are all the same, complaining all the time. Now, take my missus. Up at 5, doing the laundry, getting breakfast, getting the brats off to school, mowing the lawn, cleaning the house, cooking the dinner, washing the dishes. Well, you think all that exercise would do her good? No. Comes midnight, she can't keep her eyes open. She falls asleep in the middle of washing the car.
And they say the automobile replaced the horse. Look, boys, I've got to get Lily out of the house. What do you fellows do on a weekend?
Oh, my wife and I like to get on a baseball diamond in Central Park and kick up our heels.
Well, please, Zinza, that's not exactly what I had in mind for Lily and me.
Oh, it's oodles of fun. I knock out fungus and she shags flies.
All right, Zinza.
Oh, my wife's a magnificent ball player.
Fine.
She's constantly being mistaken for Yogi Berra.
All right, Zinza.
Of course, that's with her catcher's mask on.
Yes, I understand.
Without the mask, she looks like Joe DiMaggio.
Zinza, will you stop?
No reflection on Joe DiMaggio.
Oh, no. Springer, what do you do when your wife doesn't feel well?
Not a thing. I don't like to pamper her.
But if she's sick?
She just crawls off into the woods until she feels better.
Well, I can see I'm going to get no help from you two. I'd better get home to Lily. I've got a lot of making up to do.
Dog pamper.
Quiet. I'm going to be the most considerate husband in the world. From now on, we're going places and doing things together.
Why don't you bring her out to the baseball diamond? Big game tomorrow. Husbands against the wives.
No, thanks.
The funniest thing, they make my wife play on the men's side.
Oh, quiet. Where's my hat? I'm going home to my Lily. She's well again. She's doing that shopping she said she had to do. God, what a scare she gave me. Those sounds she made, but I'll hear them in my sleep.
Any garbage?
Look, you come back later. My wife isn't home.
Oh, not yet, huh? Well, I seen her and Agnes rush out with a doctor.
With a doctor?
Yeah, they said they was going to the hospital.
Hospital? What hospital? Tell me.
I don't know. Let go.
The hospital? I hope I'm not too late. Where's the phone? Operator, get me a hospital. Well, how do I know? Any hospital. Call it all. Oh, now what? What is it?
You are here, Montague?
Yes, but I'm busy.
I'm Dr. Spitz.
Dr. Spitz. Oh, you're the one?
Yeah.
How is she? How is she?
Well, she was a pretty sick girl, but she's all right now.
Thank heaven.
Yeah, she's resting in the hospital. She'll be home in a day or two.
Tell me, Doctor. Be frank with me. What was wrong with her?
Oh, the usual summer ailments. She was full of worms. A couple of shots, and it's off. We just ain't done the worms.
Well, what else do you have to do?
Well, I clipped and plucked her.
No.
Yeah, I shaved off all the hair, cooled for the summer.
Well, of course, she always wanted a short haircut.
By Jiminy, she got it.
Doctor, this is serious. She looked terrible.
Oh, she's a beauty now.
Looks good, eh?
Oh, wait till you see her with her ears clipped.
You clipped her ears? Well, she must be crazy to let you do that.
Crazy? Not her. She's a smart one.
I know.
Already you can start teaching her trick.
Trick?
You'll see. In a few weeks, you can send her alone. She'll come back with a newspaper in her mouth.
Oh, no. What has happened to her? Her mind has gone.
Don't you worry. I'll bring her around all right. She'll be all right.
I'll get the best nurses to take care of her here.
What nurses? All she needs is companionship and love. Yeah, I go bring her home.
Poor Lily. Companionship and love. Why does a man find out these things when it's too late? From now on, my life has but one goal. Bring Lily back to normal.
You got it bad. Here, lie down.
I walked to that door hospital. I didn't know what hit me.
Well, it's a good thing you found out you're allergic to dogs.
Oh, Agnes, don't even mention the word dogs.
I'm glad we got in touch with Zinser in time. He's going to take
Don't say it.
The DOG back.
Just let me lie here and recuperate. I never in my life want to see another.
I'll get the door. Oh, it's you.
Is she home? Oh, there you are, Lily. Now, Lily, don't get up.
Edwin,
Poor little Lily. Can you ever forgive me?
Edwin.
Things are going to be different from now on, Lily. I spoke to the doctor.
You did?
You need love and companionship. You have all my love, Lily.
Oh, Edwin.
And look what I brought you to keep you company when I'm not by your side. I bought you this.
What?
Well, look in this basket.
Lily! Jerk, get that dog out of here.
But I bought it.
Get it out. I can't stand it.
Oh, well, what are you going to do? Spring is right about women. Don't pamper them.
From RCA Victor. Just up the street or around the corner from your home is a man who provides a very important service to you and your neighbors. He's your local radio and television serviceman. Yet, curiously enough, the importance of his services is not fully recognized until your radio or television set develops trouble. Then he's needed just as a policeman or a doctor or a fireman is needed when the occasion arises. And like these other community servants, your neighborhood repairman has the experience and equipment to provide you with prompt, dependable service. For example, if your television set requires a new picture tube, he'll recommend a genuine RCA picture tube. Your repairman knows from experience that an RCA picture tube will give you the clearest, sharpest picture your set is capable of delivering. He'll tell you, in fact, that all electronic television is an RCA development. So next time your set develops trouble, regardless of its make, model, or size, rely on your local radio television technician for fast, economical repair. And don't forget to ask him for genuine RCA tubes and parts. Then you're sure of enjoying the very best that your television set has to offer. Listen again next week, friends, to The Magnificent Montague, starring Monty Woolley. The Magnificent Montague was created and directed by Nat Hiken and written by Nat Hiken and Billy Friedberg. Ann Seymour was Lily, Pert Kelton was Agnes. Also heard on tonight's broadcast were Art Carney, Johnny Gibson, John Griggs, and Frank Milano. Jack Ward was at the organ. This is Don Pardo.
Magnificent Montague has come to you from our Radio City studios in New York. Tomorrow, hear New Theater and the NBC Symphony on NBC.
The Magnificent Montague, on Tuned to Yesterday from August 25th, 1951 on NBC, part of the network's Friday night lineup at 9 o'clock for just about a year. That would be Monty Woolley's last stint on radio. He would next be seen on the silver screen in the motion picture comedy As Young As You Feel alongside Thelma Ritter. It's an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. And now Lucille Ball and Richard Denning are joined by seasoned radio and TV actors Gail Gordon and Hans Conried in an episode of My Favorite Husband. This first heard on February 18th, 1949 on CBS.
It's the new Gay Family series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper, two people who live together and like it. And now let's look in on the Coopers. It's early evening, dinner is over, George is in the living room, and Liz is helping Katie the maid clear off the table.
Mrs. Cooper, you don't have to help me with the dishes.
Oh, I'm just stalling, Katie. I want time to think. George is waiting for me in the living room, and he has that I'm going to lecture Liz expression on his face. I'm afraid he wants to ask me about the right front fender on the car.
Well, what do you think he wants to know about it?
He probably wants to know where it is.
Oh, dear.
Well, might as well go in and face the music. Yes, George?
Sit down, Liz. I want to talk to you.
I'm sorry about it, George. I couldn't help it. The fender's at the garage being fixed.
What fender?
Oh, me and my big mouth.
Okay, let's have it. What is it this time?
It wasn't my fault, George. You should have seen that place. Cars whizzing past, reckless driving, screeching brakes. I'll never put the car in a parking lot again.
Okay, you're excused.
Well, what did you want to talk to me about, George? Did I do something else?
No, dear. It's about my insurance.
Oh.
You see, I've taken out some more, and I want to explain it to you.
George, insurance is such a waste of money. Look at our fire insurance. We've been paying for it for 10 years and haven't used it once.
I'm talking about my life insurance. I've doubled my insurance, and you'll get $10,000 when I die.
George, what a horrible thought. I won't take it.
Now, honey.
I don't even want to talk about it.
Honey, these are things you have to discuss. After all, I want you well provided for if I should die first.
Oh, there you go again.
Liz, let's face it, I'm not going to live forever.
Well, for my sake, the least you could do is try.
All right, I'll try. But in case I don't make it, if by any chance I go first.
Why do you keep saying that? Don't you feel well?
Oh, Liz, I'm simply speaking in generalities. I might go first, you might go first. We have to be prepared. It's the sensible thing to do.
Why do you say I might go first?
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did, and you sort of smiled when you said it. What are you trying to tell me, George?
Oh, Liz, how dramatic can you get? Now, what are you crying about?
After I'm gone, I suppose you'll marry again?
Oh, I will not.
You won't?
No, I learned my lesson the first time. honey, I was only teasing. Now, please be practical, and let me tell you about this insurance.
All right.
You see, I took out $10,000, double indemnity.
Double in what?
Indemnity. That means if I go normally, you get $10,000. If I go in an accident, you get twice as much, see?
Well, I'm going to miss you, but... But when you feel yourself going, try to make it an accident, huh?
Gee, you don't have to be that practical.
Well, all right, then. You go any way you want.
Oh, thanks.
And don't worry about the money. I'll get a job to help support myself.
Oh, you holding down a job? I'm glad I won't be alive to see it.
Well, I could get a job, all right. I can always be a... Well, I could probably... Well, with my brains, I could... George, you better make that $30,000.
I thought so. Liz, promise me you'll never get a job. Business is bad enough as it is.
I don't like your attitude, George Cooper. There are lots of morons holding down office jobs, and I'm just as smart as they are.
I agree.
Oh, all right, I'll show you. I'm not even going to wait for you to die. I'm going out and get a job right now. Katie, run a nice warm bath for me, will you? I'm so tired.
Where have you been all morning, Mrs. Cooper?
Out looking for a job, but it's no use. They all want experienced girls.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to go to business school and learn to type and take shorthand. Hand me that phone. I'm going to call them right now.
Oh, here. I hope you can get the line.
Oh, don't tell me that Brooklyn blabbermouth is hogging the party line again.
All morning.
Oh, dear. Well, we'll see.
And wait till I tell you what happened then. All right. Do you want to guess?
There she blows. Pardon me. I have an important call to make. Are you ever going to get off the line?
Mama, we got company. Meet Miss Big Ears.
Why don't you hang up? Don't you ever get tired flapping those lips together? Blah, 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 blah.
I got right. I happen to be talking to my mother.
You are? That's amazing.
It's amazing I'm talking to my mother?
No, it's amazing you have a mother.
Why did you think? Somebody built me with an erector set.
No, I thought you came in a box of Cracker Jack.
Such an insult. Go on, Mama, tell her off.
So what'll I say?
How do you like that? Yeah, comes in two sizes. Look, let me make one important call, and then you can blab as long as you like.
I got important business too, hey. Mama's radio broke and she missed 3 episodes of the soap operas.
So what?
So Ruthie's giving me a delayed broadcast at this more convenient time.
Do you have to use the telephone?
What do you expect me to use? A 2-way wrist radio, huh?
Oh.
So, Mama, you remember how kindly Dr. Stevenson had to operate on little Jimmy, who was run over by a truck when he tried to save the life of blind Mr. Potts, who was on his way to get the doctor for Grandma Schmidt, who broke her leg when she fell downstairs trying to help Mary Lou, who caught a hand in the ringer.
Oh, yeah. Which show was that?
Life Can Be Beautiful.
Yeah, that's right. Now, in John's other wife, Audrey was mad at Lloyd.
She makes me so mad.
But what are you going
to
do?
I'll go down to the secretarial school and enroll in person. If I wait for her to get off the phone, I won't need a job. I'll be collecting Social Security.
business school. You are lucky to be studying under Miss Claremont, the world's finest teacher. I am Miss Claremont. When you finish our course, each of you will be completely equipped to get along with your future boss as we teach you shorthand, typing, filing, and jujitsu. For the weaker girls, we have a course in broken office running, desk vaulting, and how to use a sharp pencil point. Now, I would like to use Mrs. Cooper to demonstrate typing instructions.
Oh, well, then you better give me another typewriter. This one isn't any good.
What do y'all mean?
It doesn't have any letters on the keys.
Mrs. Cooper.
Yes, ma'am.
Mrs. Cooper, the keys are left blank, so you will learn to type by the touch system.
Oh.
I'll show you. Now, type the middle row of keys from left to right. A, S, B, F, J, K, L. Oh, very good. Now you've learned something already, haven't you?
Yes, ma'am. As Def Jickle. You know, that's a hard word to work into a conversation. Oh, I get the idea, though. I think I'll try to write my name.
How did it come out?
Shake hands with Cordy Uyop.
Class dismissed. All right, Mrs. Cooper. You have been studying shorthand for 3 weeks. When you write the word money, it is not proper shorthand to draw a picture of a little cabbage. I don't care if it's a split pea. It's not shorthand.
Well, you'll have to admit my typing has improved. This morning I typed 60 words a minute.
Mrs. Cooper,
yes, ma'am.
Anyone can do that if they type the same word over and over.
Class dismissed. George, what's the matter? You haven't spoken to me since dinner. And do you have to work at home?
Yes, dear.
George, let me sit on your lap.
Oh, but Liz, this is important.
Kiss me.
Kissing me isn't going to...
Now, is work more important than that?
What work?
Better. George, why don't you let me help you with your work? I'm doing fine in secretarial school. I'm even writing my shopping list in shorthand.
That can only lead to ptomaine.
Here's my notebook right here.
Is that shorthand?
Sure. What does it look like?
Looks like the tracks of a wounded fly with ink on his feet.
Oh, don't be funny. It's my own system. They all mean something.
Yeah? What does this one mean? The number 3, a dog, and a daisy.
Oh, well, that's to remind me to get 3 heads of cauliflower.
Oh.
Well, I'll wait till you figure it out.
Oh. Now, what's this, Dilly? A telescope, a doctor, and a child.
Oh, well, I want to discontinue the newspaper. That means watch out for the examiner boy. See, the telescope is watch out. The doctor is the examiner.
Never mind. Oh, now, here's one I can understand. A man throwing books in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Juggling your books, huh?
Just a little jug. Oh, don't worry. I'll make this month's accounts come out right if it takes all my next month's allowance to do it.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Now, explain this last shorthand mystery to me.
Mm-hmm.
A circle, a ship, and a laundry ticket.
Oh, that. See, the circle's for a phonograph record I want to buy.
Yeah. What's the ship and the laundry ticket for?
That's the title. Slow Boat to China.
Oh, get out of here.
Are you still working, George? It's almost 11 o'clock.
Yes, dear.
Is something wrong?
Well, not really. The bank examiner's in town, and there's been sort of a mix-up in our books.
Oh.
And just when I need her the most, my secretary is sick.
Oh, George, let me be your secretary.
Oh, no. I'm going to dictate bank reports, not animated cartoons.
Oh, but this is my big chance. Please, George.
Not a chance, Liz. I've already called that school of yours, and they're going to send someone over.
Oh, all right for you, George Cooper.
Now, don't go away mad, Liz.
What's the matter, Mrs. Cooper? You look angry.
I am. George needs a secretary, and he won't give me the job. Hey, you know what I'm going to do, Katie? I'm going to call and cancel the other girl and take the job myself.
Do you think you should?
Well, maybe my typing isn't so hot. My shorthand takes longer than longhand. But think of all the time we'll save. When he chases me around the office, I'll let him catch me.
George is in for a big surprise because he hired a substitute secretary and doesn't know that Liz is planning to substitute for the substitute. Right now, she's in the living room. Wait a minute. Is that Liz? It is, and she's wearing a black wig and horn-rimmed spectacles.
Katie, come in here a minute, please.
I'm coming, Mrs. Cooper. Oh, what do you... Oh, pardon me, madam. Oh, Mrs. Cooper, it's you.
Pretty good disguise, huh? Do you think I can fool George with this wig?
Well, yes, if you take the price tag off.
Oh.
Have you canceled the other secretary yet?
Oh, good heavens, no. I'll call right now.
And then Uncle Joe took his wife's baby to pay for an operation on Aunt Flossie's eyes.
And so we conclude another episode of Just Plain Blabbermouth.
Don't look now, Mama. Nosy Rosie's back again.
That does it. Every time I pick up this phone, you're on it with those awful soap operas. I'm going to have my phone changed.
Go ahead. Well, after they catch Uncle Joe, their son, the radio actor, comes in and wants to borrow $10 until television blows over. Well, this infuriates Stephen.
How do you like that? A filibuster.
Filibuster?
Yes, I've had my fill and I'd like to bust her right in the nose. To call that school from the drugstore. Goodbye, Katie. Oh, dear, I'm so excited. Do you really think this black wig will fool George?
Oh, the wig will fool him, all right, but he might recognize your underwear. You forgot to put your dress on.
Yikes!
Yes?
Mr. Cooper, your new secretary is here.
Well, send her right in.
Paul Brunette.
Oh, send her right in. I've been waiting for her.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
So, good morning. Mr. Cooper?
Yes?
I'm your temporary secretary.
Well, I'm glad to know you. Miss,
I guess I'm a little nervous. I know it as well as I know my own name.
Oh, well, how about sitting down?
No, that sounds too much like an Indian. Jane Smith. Yeah, Jane Smith.
Well, Miss Smith, Miss Claremont promised to send me her prize pupil, so you must be pretty expert at shorthand and typing.
Well, Miss Claremont herself will say she's never seen shorthand like mine.
Good. How fast can you take dictation?
500 words a minute.
500? Oh, that's impossible.
Well, not the way I do it. I use both hands. It's a trick. I'm amphibious.
We've got a lot of work to do, Miss Smith. We'd better get started.
Yes, sir. What's your hurry? You know, I think I'm going to like you. You think maybe you're going to like me, hey?
Well, Miss Smith...
Oh, don't be so formal, Blondie. Wouldn't you maybe like me to maybe sit on your lap, maybe?
Miss Smith, we have work to do. You can sit on my lap later.
What? Mr. Cooper, you're married, aren't you, huh?
Yes.
Well, your wife sure trusts you, not interviewing your secretaries or anything, and you, a good-looking guy like you.
She trusts me implicitly. She has no idea what goes on around here.
Oh, she doesn't, huh? Why don't you tell me about her?
I can just imagine what she looks like.
You can?
Yeah. See, I imagine a handsome guy like you would have a wife who was tall and a gorgeous face and a positively exquisite figure.
Boy, have you got an imagination?
Well, if I'm not too nosy, what does she look like?
Well, she's... I don't know. What can you say about a woman who's middle-aged and dumpy? I'm afraid I can't use you, Liz.
Oh, you knew it all.
Well, I caught on pretty quick. Now, run along. My secretary's due.
Oh, well, I don't know how to tell you this, George, but I thought I could fool you, and I canceled your other secretary.
Liz, you didn't.
Well, all right, I didn't. But don't hold your breath till she gets here. Oh, George, give me a chance. I'll show you what I can do.
Well, it's too late to get anyone else. Now, listen to me.
Yeah?
The Board of Bank Examiners is meeting this afternoon.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to ask certain questions, and they've allowed me to prepare some written answers.
Uh-huh.
Do you think you can take them down if I dictate them?
Well, of course I can. See, here are my notes from yesterday, and I can still read them. Mm. 3 heads of cauliflower, juggle the books, watch out for the examiner boy, get a slow boat to China.
Never mind that stuff.
Oh.
Now, let's get started.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the answer to the first question.
Uh-huh.
You ready?
Yes.
The Second National Bank holds its collateral with the Humboldt Construction Company.
George?
Oh, I forgot. The T-H-E,
Second,
S-E-C-O-N-D, National, N-A-T-I-O-N-A-L. Now, Liz, you sit here while the meeting with the bank examiner is going on. And remember, you're my secretary, Miss Smith.
Yes, George. Mr. Cooper.
All right now. Mr. Cooper, we're ready for you. As you know, things look rather bad at your bank. I hope you have some good answers to the questions we have for you.
Oh, don't worry, Mr. Allen. Hand me those answers you typed, Miss Smith.
Here you are, sir.
And now the first question. In the transaction with the Humboldt Construction Company, what do you hold as collateral for this $10 million loan?
I have it right here. Huh?
What's wrong?
Look at this typing. A whole page of jumbled letters. Not a single word makes sense.
Well, let me see. Oh, dear, that happens in school all the time. You see, I was using the touch system, and all my fingers were one key too far to the right.
Oh, great.
Well, here, let me fix it. I'll type it again with my fingers one key too far to the left.
No.
But, George, that'll make it come out even.
Oh.
Yeah, come, Cooper. What's this stalling?
Well,
here, George, read it from my shorthand note.
You're the only one who can read that stuff. Mr. Allen, if you don't mind, my secretary, Miss Smith, will answer the questions from her notebook.
Well, this is highly irregular, but go ahead.
Thank you.
Well, Miss Smith, what does the bank hold as collateral for this $10 million loan?
The quick brown... now is the time... Oh, dear. My notes are all mixed up.
Oh, Liz.
I have it.
Well, what's the collateral for this $10 million?
3 heads of cauliflower. I can't seem to find the answer to that question. Could you go to the next question, please?
Very well. When the amount of collateral is not commensurate with the size of the loan and you discover this condition, what is your procedure?
Juggle the book.
Oh, that's enough, Liz. Sit down.
You know, just a minute. I think we may have stumbled onto something here.
But you don't understand.
Quiet. Next question, Miss Smith. When Mr. Cooper found out there was to be an investigation, what instructions did he give the employees? Well?
I don't think I'd better read this.
What did he tell the employees? What does it say, girl?
Watch out for the examiner, boys.
Goodness sakes, Liz. Try to find the right note.
I'm trying.
Thought you'd get away with something, eh, Cooper?
No, this is all a ridiculous mix-up.
That's what they all say. What would you have done if you'd gotten away with it?
I didn't do anything.
I found it.
What would you have done if you'd gotten away with it?
Get a slow boat to China.
I could go!
Some dinner, George. Are you still mad at me?
No, I've learned to expect things like this. It only took me 6 hours to prove to Mr. Allen that you were responsible for the whole thing.
I'm sorry. And I don't want to work anymore, George. I'll manage to live on your insurance money somehow.
Oh, thanks.
And I'll call up the secretarial school right now and quit.
Now, that should break their hearts.
And the doctor said, Ma Perkins, you'll never walk again.
Oh, you. The phone company told me they changed this party line.
They did, hey. I'm talking to your new party line now.
You are? Well, who is it?
Me, Biggie is. Some coincidence, huh?
Liz, what's the matter?
Liz, speak to me. Say something.
My favorite husband has been presented through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
My Favorite Husband, on Tuned to Yesterday, that CBS broadcast from February 18, 1949, we just heard an Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast, which wraps up this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.